our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Happy New Year! Oh man, I just love the new year. How about you guys? It's like a pastor's dream, the new year. It's kind of like a trainer's dream, you know, because like that first week of the new year, never in the year will there be another moment where people believe more than in that first year week that they can get in shape, right? So this is the week that everybody believes their life can change, and we want to help you change your life. So this is like, I will not be more believable all year than I am this sermon today. So welcome to church. We're glad you are here. And we, you know, sometimes though, quickly in the new year, life hits us a little bit. And I love like that first week of the year. I like to set goals. How many of you guys like goals? Just all three of our campuses, you like to write out some New Year's resolutions, but doesn't life just have a way of hitting us in the face really quickly? It's like on New Year's Day, the first day of the year, we'd gone to bed early. So recently, over the last couple of years, I don't stay up to midnight. Just a moment of confession. I never stay up to midnight, let alone New Year's Eve. But I've realized you can ring in the new year on the East Coast. Anybody else watch the ball go? It's like by 9:30, you're out. You're asleep. So might be getting old and just kind of getting a little bit ancient, so I'd like to get to sleep early. So I have my Bible set out, journal. I'm going to write some goals, resolutions. So I get up early, eager for the new year. And like 5 minutes after I get up, I hear my son up, and he's in the bedroom pacing back and forth because he's going to go watch the Niners play. And he's really excited. He like the walls are going to tear down. He's so excited. So a few minutes later, time to come out. The kids come out. Within a few minutes, both of my boys are in a fight with each other, almost a fist fight. Within 10 minutes of that, I lost my temper towards them. I'm like, welcome to 2017. Anybody else? You slept in? You overate already? You didn't accomplish one of your goals? Got in a fight with your spouse on the way to church? Anybody else? Raise your hand. Just look at somebody, said, me too, me too, me too, me too, me too, me too. You know, it's amazing though. One of the things I felt like God was saying to me in that is sometimes my misplaced desire for perfection can make me miss my opportunity for progress. And what God wants for you and what God wants for me this year is not perfection, it's progress. So we're going to learn together to value more progress over perfection. Can we say that together? Progress over perfection. Sunnyvale, let's say it together. Progress over perfection. God wants you to progress this year. And one of the areas that I feel like God is really saying to me and to our church, this is where I want you to focus, is in the area of prayer. Because if you can get prayer right, if you can understand God's desire for prayer in your life, it influences everything. So for 5 weeks, we're going to pray first. We're going to start the new year with prayer. Sometimes people say, if everything else fails, what do? Pray. But we're going to pray first in 2017. And for me, a confession, prayer's always been really hard. Like I can read the Bible, I can memorize scripture, I can do all these spiritual disciplines, but prayer is just difficult for me. And part of it is because I'm like diagnosed with ADD. So my prayers are often like, dear God, oh, did I send that email? Did I respond to her? Oh, I got that text. I got that meeting. I never sent that note over. And I can get into these ADD moments of prayer very quickly. And on top of that, I'm extremely action-oriented. I like to get things accomplished, which is not to say if you like to pray, you can't be action-oriented, okay? Don't judge me. I'm just saying, like, when I pray a lot of times, I'm thinking I need to be getting some stuff done. So I have this internal battle that I go through. And then, in addition to that, whenever I met Stacy, her family was a little bit different than mine with prayer because, like, in my house growing up, when we would pray, it was like, dear God, thanks for the food. It looks really good. Let's eat. Jesus' name, amen. Stacy's family, however, her dad's a pastor, and he would pray sermons. I mean, he would go on and on. And they were awesome, but he would, I can't match this. And a part of my interview process for her, her dad was like, he'd put me on the spot and say, Andy, would you like to pray for us? And I'd start praying. I couldn't even remember my name. And I'd be in these situations, much like Meet the Parents. You guys remember that movie? And I thought it'd be fun to watch that clip together. So let's let it roll.
Greg, would you like to say grace? Unless you have some objection.
No. No, I'd love to. Said grace at many a dinner table. It's okay. Oh, dear God. Thank you. You are such a good God.
To us, a kind and gentle and accommodating God. And we thank you, oh sweet, sweet Lord of hosts, for the smorgasbord you have so aptly lain at our table this day and each day by day. Day by day, by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things we pray. To love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day, by day. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Greg, that was lovely.
Thank you, Greg. That was interesting, too.
Oh, I could watch that movie over and over and over. It never gets old to me. And part of it is because we can identify with that, right? And that pressure. But one thing that has really helped me in the area of prayer is to begin to realize that prayer, it doesn't have to be religious. Really, simply what prayer is connecting with God. So God's made you and he's made me to connect with him personally. And sometimes we have all this baggage that plays into how we try to connect with God. We have other people that we see that have prayed, and we have this mindset that can prevent us from going to God. It's like any other relationship in your life. If you're married or you have kids or friends or your parents or a classmate, to relate to a person, you would get to know them, what's important to them, and over time, you would learn to connect with them more and more. And prayer oftentimes for me was very difficult because I couldn't quantify it like other goals. Like I can say, I'm going to read 40 books this year, and I'm going to check one off every week or so. But when it came to prayer, it was like, well, I prayed 13.5 minutes here and 5.7 minutes here, and I'm getting closer to that 30 minute a day. See, whenever I approach God that way, it felt religious to me. So I had to learn over time, and I still am learning, that prayer simply is connecting with God. So if we can for five weeks look at how do we, normal people, connect with God, I think it will change our lives in 2017. So we're going to look at a prayer Jesus prayed, and it's called the Lord's Prayer. You may have heard it before. You may even have prayed it in repetition growing up. It's a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. It's found in Luke chapter 11 and in Matthew chapter 6 of the New Testament. I want to look at both examples today. And I want to unpack. We're going to roll through this for 5 weeks together. In Luke chapter 11, notice Jesus' disciples. They approach him. It says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. So for Jesus, prayer was a part of his ministry. Everywhere he went, the things he did, it was bathed in prayer. It was underneath the authority and the power of God. So he's modeling prayer before his early followers. And it says, when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. See, he so modeled prayer for them that they want what he had. There's something about that, that when your life is positioned in a way with power and authority, sometimes you see people like this in the area of prayer, that they have something that you want. So Jesus had it, they want it, and they asked him, hey, what's the secret? How did you figure out how to approach God like this, Heavenly Father? Where is this all coming from? So Jesus would teach them specifically how to pray. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, it's the same prayer. I want us to walk through it together. Jesus said, and when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying just because it's a long prayer doesn't make it a good prayer. Now, I'm not saying that it's a bad prayer if it's a long prayer. It's just that it's not, if you pray longer, it makes it a good prayer. Because there's a lot of different types of prayer that are long prayers that we all know lack some meaning, or maybe they're very difficult to understand and connect with. You know, there's like the gossip prayer. You guys remember that one? If you've been around for a while, it's like everybody's together. Let's all bow our heads and pray. We're going to pray for those who are not present tonight. Dear Jesus, we know John. John's struggling with his marriage, and he's been cheating on his wife, and we feel really bad for him. Please help him, dear Jesus, to stop fornicating, because that's just horrible. Help him get out of his addiction and the pornography that he's been looking at. We just pray, God bless his soul. We pray that you'd bless him. Anybody else have some prayer requests? You know what I'm talking about. This is the gossip prayer. There's the just prayer. Dear Jesus, we just want to thank you. We just honor you today because we just have some requests that we need to bring before you. Just help us, Lord. Just come into our midst. We just pray right now. Just. You know, there's the other, the old English prayer. You guys remember that one? Can we have fun in church? Is it okay? Okay. There's the old English prayer. It's like, we greet thee, thy heavenly Father, thine great host, for thy tender mercies and thy loving care. It's like, God's not stuck in the 1600s, folks, right? So you got the gossip prayer. You have the thesaurus prayer. You're just like, okay, Father God, guide Jesus, sweet Lord, Father, heavenly God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, we greet you. You know, it's like they put all the names. It's like, keep going, thesaurus. So you got the gossip prayer. You got the source prayer. I got a couple more. I could go on in this, but I'm not a comedian, so I'll stop after this one. The informing prayers. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you're going to inform God. God, it's raining outside today. And around the table, we got Johnny here. He just won his soccer match yesterday. And we have my sister Susie, and she's walking through some marriage problems. And then over here, we have my wife. She made this great dinner for us, God. Thank you for her. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, He knows. And then you have, this is my last one, but you know, you have the people who like inform everybody else through their prayers. You know what I'm talking about? Like, dear God, I know we got some people who are gossiping right here. I know we got some people I know they got some bitterness in their past over here. And God, we just pray for them. So we could have a lot of fun with this, but Jesus is saying like, just because it's long doesn't mean it's good. It can be long and good, but it's not the quantity that matters. It's the quality of the connection with God. Amen. So he wants you to approach him, and it doesn't have to be religious. So Jesus says this is how you do it. When you pray, pray like this. He's saying when you approach God, this is how you can, verse 9. When you pray, pray like this. Now notice when he says this, he doesn't say anything about your background spiritually. He doesn't say anything about your socioeconomic status. He doesn't say if you have a lot of money or little money. He doesn't say if you're new to this thing or you've been following Jesus for 60 years. It's all of us. All of us can approach God. And this prayer has power to change your life if you would pray it and understand it. So this is how he says to approach God. Can we read it together? All right, all three of our campuses. Our Father in heaven. All right, we can do better than that. North San Jose, come on. South San Jose. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's say it with meaning today. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There's power in that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray and that he modeled. This is not a script. This is an outline. And Jesus outlines in this passage how we approach God, how he, Jesus, God in human flesh, would approach his heavenly Father. He gives us an outline. So I want to break down the specific aspects of this outline. Today I want to focus on that first part when Jesus says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Because if we get that first part right, it changes everything about our approach to God. The first name or the first approach that he says, when you pray to God, it should be like this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." There are dozens of names for God all throughout Scripture. And Jesus says that the one name that he has chosen that you would call him by is Daddy. That you would approach the God of the universe as your Father, our Father, collectively together, that we have a Father who is longing for us to approach him in prayer at any moment of any day, in any situation or any circumstance. The way he wants to be seen by you is as your Father spiritually. I have three kids and they call me Daddy, but sometimes they call us by our first names. It drives me nuts. Karis, our three-year-old, has been doing this thing where she calls Stacy Stacy and me Andy. Recently, she started doing it like when she wants something. So we'll put her to bed and she wants her water bottle after we put her to bed. She did this the other night and she said, "Hey, Stacy, can you get my water?" I'm like, "I'll show you, Stacy. It's mama to you." Or sometimes she'll be like, "Hey, Andy, come to my room. Andy." I'm like, "No, it's not Andy to you. It's Daddy to you." There are only three people on the planet who call me Daddy, and you are one of them, and Andy does not work for you. See, I wonder how many times in our prayer when we approach God, he's been saying, I want you to call me Father, but you're calling me all these other things. And your view, listen, if you don't hear anything else I say today, your view of God will determine your relationship with God. Every single person has a view of God. Even if you're an atheist or agnostic, you have a view of who God is, what his character's like, whether he exists or doesn't, whether he's far or near. And Jesus is saying, this is how God wants you to see him, is your heavenly Father. Would you approach him every single morning of this week? Come into his presence and say, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." See, what happens in relationship with children is that children have privilege, listen, privilege and access that nobody else has. A kid has privilege and access with their parents that nobody else has. We had our board in, our overseers, and we have an annual board meeting. So we go into this conference room, and there are pastors of churches that are like multiple times as large as our church, some of the most influential leaders in our country. So we're in this board meeting. And, by the nature of my role, I'm so busy. I have an assistant. She helps manage my schedule. It takes like sometimes 3 weeks to get a 30-minute appointment on the calendar. And I'm in this meeting, and somebody walks in with no appointment. And they just walk through the first door and the second door, and she's about this high, and she's 3 years old, and she's got little pigtails in. She calls me boyfriend, and she walks, this is my daughter, in case you didn't catch it. She walks right in, and she goes, "Where's my boyfriend? Give me a kiss, boyfriend. Hi, Daddy." And she proceeds to walk around and give all these people, these really important people, hugs. "Did I get a hug from you? Can I get a hug from you?" She does not know the boundaries. She does not know that she needs to set up an appointment with my assistant to have a 15-minute conversation. For her, she has privilege and access that nobody else has. You are not an interruption to God. You are not a distraction to him. You don't need an appointment. He doesn't have an admin. He is welcoming you to his presence right now. Personal invitation. The God of the universe is wanting you to call him Father. I wonder if maybe you have some baggage that plays into how you see God. Maybe you had an earthly father that was abusive or mistreated you, or spoke down to you. And Jesus is saying, if you could get this right, it would change everything. It would change everything about the way you relate to people, about the way you relate to God. I felt like God was telling me to tell you, if you could understand how much he loves you and the way he wants to relate to you, it would change everything for you. You have a perfect, loving, heavenly Father who's inviting you to pray to him and to start, "Our Father who art in heaven." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Because of his character and his nature and what Jesus has done on a cross and paying for the sins of the world and triumphing over the grave, today, in this moment, you can come into God's presence with confidence, not based on your merit and what you've accomplished, not based upon how bad you've messed up in Blue 2016. You can come to God based on his grace and mercy and approach his throne of grace to find his help in your time of need. Today, I wonder what your need is. There's a God that is waiting for you to bring that need to him. I feel like I could stop preaching right now and you'd have enough for the rest of the week to carry you, but I got more, so I'll keep going. See, Jesus gives us one part of it, which is our Father in heaven, but there's a second part of it that is so important, and it's this: hallowed be your name. What he's saying is the Heavenly Father set apart. There's nobody like him. He has power, he has authority, he has wisdom. He has mercy and grace. He has so much to his name that it deserves to receive honor and praise, to be lifted high above every other name, to be adored, to be worshiped. See, if you get our Father, and then you understand that our Father is worthy to be adored and worshiped, you're positioning yourself beneath God and next to God. And Jesus is making a very important point here. He's saying that nearness does not have to diminish reverence. It's important. See, in our society and culture, sometimes we think that, like, if we're close to somebody, then we don't need to honor. We don't need to show respect just because we're connected to them. But Jesus is saying, no, actually, your Father still is the creator of the universe and is deserving honor and glory for who he is. My son started doing this thing with me the other day where he started calling me son. We're watching football the other night, and he wanted one team to win. I wanted the other team to win. And when his team scored, he did a dab and called me son. I'm like, get real close. Let me show you my dab. Real. You don't call me son. You're my son. I'll show you son. See, I'm close to him. I want to be called father, but there's still this respect that we give to God. So we position ourselves understanding that he's the creator of the universe. Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2 says it like this. Says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name." See, there's something about preaching to yourself internally that when you begin to understand, okay, I have a mind, I have a heart, I have a soul, and a part of my role in prayer is to position that before God, to get my mind focused, to get my heart right. King David from the Old Testament of the Bible is saying, "Praise God, all that is within me, praise his holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all of his benefits." That word benefits is really important, especially for those of y'all who work in the tech sector here in Silicon Valley, because you get some benefits from your job, don't you? First time I went to Google when we moved to the Bay Area 8 years ago, 8.5 years ago. Now going to a tech company, I get the drill. But back then, I didn't realize that it was like an expectation that tech companies provide breakfast, lunch, snacks if you want them, dinner, mid-afternoon lattes, babysitting, gyms, free training. I mean, nobody's laughing because you're like, yeah, that's right. That's what I deserve. I went to see my buddy right after the church had started. We'd just gotten here, and he's like, You want a banana? You want a latte? You want some Skittles? What do you want? And I'm like, well, who's paying for it? He's like, oh no, it's free. Well, I mean, actually, your AdWords are paying for it, but it's free right now. And it's a benefit that the longer you have it, the more you expect it, and the less you appreciate it. See, some of us in our journey spiritually, we've been following God for so long that we've forgotten some of his benefits. So we don't adore him, we don't worship him anymore because the benefits have become commonplace to us. See, contrary to like Google or eBay or Cisco or Facebook, you get benefits because you work there. The benefits that God gives to our lives is not something that we deserve. It's not like you earn your way to God and all of a sudden you get these benefits. It's simply based upon the goodness of God the Father and his love towards you. And then David goes on to describe it. He says, so here's some things you need not to forget. This is who he is, and this is what he does. So I'm going to frame my day with this mindset. He who forgives all your sins and heals all of your diseases. See, God is merciful and gracious. And some of us carried some stuff into 2017 that we wish we hadn't done last year. But how many of you know it's good news today that there's a God who can heal you and forgive you of the past? That your regret and your shame and your sorrow from 2016 is a new day. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Psalm 103, David would describe, and he would say, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he separates your sins from you. He buries them at the bottom of the ocean, and scripture says he can't even remember them because he's so merciful and gracious. So I'm going to greet my day with that. And I'm going to say, God, you're so good. And I know I've got a lot of brokenness and I got a lot of stuff I regret, but I'm so grateful today that I get to be in your presence and you are a God who forgives my sin. And not only do you forgive, but you're a healer. That's what you've been doing like from the beginning of time. You're healing people spiritually and you're healing marriages. I love like as a pastor, I get to see all these stories of healing and God changing lives. And when I can start to see the healing nature of God, that even in me, my anxiety and my anger and my brokenness, he's a healer and he's going to heal me of some things in my past. He redeems your life from the pit. I was down on the ground a couple years ago cleaning up some milk that one of my boys had spilled, and he had spilled milk like 3 days in a row. And I was down there and I was doing one of those things you do as a parent. You're like, you're so angry that you're just going to like tell them what they did over and over and over again, right? I can't believe you did this. You spill milk every day. This is ridiculous. I'm so done with this. And he's not like old enough at this point to clean his own milk up, because if he does, it's going to make more of a mess. So I might as well get down there and clean it up. And I'm down there and I'm just going on and on and on. And as clear as I remember the Holy Spirit speaking into my heart, it felt like God said to me, Andy, how many of your messes have I cleaned up? And I felt in that moment just an overwhelming sense of gratitude of how good God's been to me and where my life would be without him and how many times he's redeemed my life from the pit. Do you see, I'm walking you through how we can pray, that you got some things that God's brought you through, and maybe you haven't thanked him yet. Maybe you haven't told him how grateful you are that he brought you through some junk, that he's healed some stuff from your life, that he's forgiven you from some sins in your past. Not only does he do all this, but he crowns you with love and compassion. One of the names of God is Yahweh Nisi. What it means is the Lord our banner. It's this image of a man on a horse with a flag riding past his opponents, riding into battle with victory, then riding out with the flag that says, I just kicked your tail. It's the victorious nature of God. So you have a God that is going before you and coming behind you and giving you victory. So when you start to praise him and you realize he's victorious, he's mighty, he's powerful, then David would say, if he didn't do some things for you, let's add one more thing. On top of all this, he renews, he satisfies your desires with good things so that your strength is renewed like the eagles. See, can you imagine if you just woke up tomorrow and that's what you did? You got on your knees before God and you said, God, I thank you. You're a healer. You're a forgiver. I thank you that you're strengthening me, that you're my victory. Every battle I've faced today, you've gone before me, and victory is mine because of you. So I'm going to frame my day. Here's what happens. As your view of God gets bigger, the size of your problems becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. There's power in approaching the throne of grace, the mercy of God, and seeing him for who he is and responding to that invitation. This last week, I sent an email to our staff, and I wanted to read it to you. I sent it on Thursday afternoon, and it says this: "Hey, staff," or "Hey, guys, I'd like to ask you to pray for me. I got a personalized invitation to come to the inauguration for our new president and be a part of a special meeting with young pastors afterwards." Pretty cool, huh? And I said, "Please pray for me for discernment to whether or not I should take the invitation. Do I go? Do I support? Do I not? I'm not sure how I got on the list. Neither is anybody else, but it's kind of crazy. I think he has some representation from different parts of the country. Thanks a ton." So I sent this email out, and the conversations that ensued from the email were shocking to me. It's like everybody's like, "Whoa, emoticon, smiley face, exclamation point. I can't believe it. Do it, do it, do it." Another person sent me like this long, drawn-out email about how they had been praying and saying, "I really think that you should respond to this." I had conversations with people, staff members in the hallway, like, "What are you going to wear? You don't even have nice clothes. You know, like, how are you going to do this?" And wouldn't that be cool if that were actually true? I know. I lied to our staff. I did it all to make a very powerful point, because you just got, and they just got, really excited over a personalized invitation to the President of the United States of America, even if you don't like him and agree with him. And you know what's amazing? Every day, every moment, every second, you have a personalized invitation from the Creator of the universe to immediate access to God. See, if you could start to see prayer as that in your life, it would change everything. God is inviting you today to his presence to experience more of him in 2017, more of God than any other year of your life. I know in our church, we got people that you're new to this. I know some of you, you've been at it for a while and you feel like, "Man, I got this thing figured out." But what God wanted me to say to you today is, no matter where you are in your journey spiritually, he's inviting you to experience more of him this year, to approach his throne of grace and mercy in your time of need, to know that you have a heavenly Father that is longing for you to know him, to encounter him, to experience him, to walk with him, to praise his name before your day gets started. So for the next 21 days, we're going to do something we've never done here as a church. We're going to do a season of prayer at a whole new level. We're going to seek the heart of God for the year. I felt like God was saying to me, "Andy, you need to depend on me at a whole new level. And the church needs to depend on me." One time there was this moment where Jesus was teaching his disciples, and there was a little boy, and he was all messed up with a demon. He had a demon inside of him, and his disciples couldn't get the demon to come out. So they prayed, and they brought the little boy to Jesus, and they're like, "Hey, what's up with this? We can't get this little boy to be free from the demon." And Jesus looked at them and he said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation." Faithless means that you're disconnected from God. Perverse means that you're too connected to the world. He says, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Go from here to there. Bring the boy to me.'" He prays over him. The demons leave the boy. And Jesus looks at his disciples and says something very, very important. He says, "These kind only come out by prayer and fasting." There is a new devil for every level of your life. There's a new reason for Satan to attack you this year. And God wants to move some mountains in your life in 2017. God wants to move back the darkness in our community, that this would be a year of victory, a year of God's power upon us to see more lives changed, more people meeting Jesus and the hope that he offers than any other year. So for 21 days, we're going to do something significant. We're going to open up the building at all of our campuses Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. and we're going to pray together. And we're going to ask God to move in our church this year. And I want to invite you to join me. Those of you who have kids and you can't come, we're going to stream it so that you can do it from home. And I want to invite you to pray and then to fast. Prayer is reconnecting with God. Fasting is disconnecting from the world. So you can fast from social media. You can fast from your kids. Just joking about that one. Spouses and kids, you can't fast from them, but maybe you can choose a food that you're overly connected with. Do a Daniel fast, a juice fast. But as we reconnect with God and we disconnect from the world, there's a new power and authority that God's going to give to our lives and to our church. And this is going to be the best year yet. More than anything else in 2017, more than I want our church to grow, more than I want new people through the doors, more than anything else, I want more of God. I want more of His presence in my life and more of His presence in His church. And I'm looking for some people that will seek Him with me this year, that will come to Him in midst of our brokenness. We already screwed up, right? It's a weekend. Me too. We already messed up. But guess what? He doesn't want your perfection. He wants your progress. He wants your heart. And He's knocking today. And He's saying, will you come and receive my grace and my mercy? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you today for the power of the cross and the empty tomb and the fact that you cared so much about us that you stepped down from heaven to earth and you invite us. Thank you today that in our church we got CEOs. We got people who are homeless. We got people who are all in between. We have different races and ethnicities. We have different socioeconomic places, and we all need you. We equally need you. And your gospel is good news for every one of us, that we have a heavenly Father who's inviting us to His presence. So we seek your heart, and we pray that this would be the year that we pursue you more than any other year of our lives, individually and collectively. Would you do what only you could do? Would you put in us a fire in our soul that we can't contain, that we can't control, that deep within us as a church, we would seek you, that we would want you, that we would long for you, and we would experience more of you than any time in our lives. Jesus, we invite you. Heavenly Father, would you come in power? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me at all of our campuses as we worship our Heavenly Father together?